Hi, welcome to Arts and More on WMUK, bringing you arts and culture from Southwest Michigan. I'm Rebecca Thiel. This month, a Western Michigan University bioanthropologist was featured on the PBS show Nova in an episode called Secrets of the Sky Tombs. Jacqueline Ng studies ancient cliffside tombs in Nepal. By looking at the bones and teeth, Ng and other anthropologists are trying to find out more about the health and cultural heritage of the people buried there. I dropped by her office to talk more about her trip and what the anthropologists uncovered.
I just have a few pieces that I bought. So, you know, there's some Tibetan prayer flags that you see scattered, and you can see them especially adorning the top of high passes.
The country of Nepal is in the Himalaya Mountains, between India and Tibet. Because of the high altitude, it's already a difficult place to live.
High mountain areas are one of the last places that people migrated to settle permanently. You know, people may have passed through to reach another destination that had fertile area for pasture, for agriculture, but eking out an existence at high altitude is quite difficult.
Ng says when she first visited in 2010, she thought she was prepared for the high elevation.
I read things and I was staying hydrated and I thought I was relatively fit. But then once you start moving and you feel that sluggishness and you feel that tiredness because you can't sleep through the night, it was a bit humbling as you're, you know, trying to walk up the hill and you've got villagers, you know, going along with flip-flops and maybe as you see carrying lumber on their heads, you know, and they're moving faster than you are.
And getting to the tombs themselves is even harder. They're so high up on the cliff that trained climbers had to collect the bones from the caves and lower them down to the anthropologists.
Himalayan alpinist Pete Athens has climbed Mount Everest 7 times.
Though they're difficult to reach, Ng says the bones in the cliffs are really well preserved.
Yes, because it's so extreme in terms of the environment. So anytime any environment is extreme, whether it's really cold, really hot, very wet, or very dry, then that helps with the preservation of remains. Because, of course, bone and tissue, that's organic materials. And so in this situation, it's very cold and it's very dry.
I know what you're thinking. If the caves are so high up, why did people bury the bones there in the first place? 2 reasons. First, what's now a cliff didn't used to be a cliff at all. It was more like a hilltop cemetery.
They had dug a shaft tomb into that high hillside. And it was because of some tectonic activity that actually then the face of that cliff had fallen. And that's where we're seeing some bones. So actually, there's only openings on top, you know, that may have been sealed. But in the past, it hadn't been exposed as a cave.
Second, it was part of their culture. Most of the villagers near the cave in Samjong, Nepal, practiced Buddhism. Ng says often Buddhists cremate their dead, but in mountain regions like this, there aren't enough trees to make a big enough fire. So instead, some Buddhists do what's called a sky burial.
When a villager dies here, they're not buried underground, but are offered in a high place to birds of prey to ensure the deceased do not return to their bodies.
And then the bones are ground down to small shards.
The thinking is that it helps with the reincarnation, and you know you're giving back to nature, so that in this instance birds are incorporating these remains. Whether or not these remains in Samjong, which had evidence of the cuts on the bones that were areas where you would dismember and disarticulate, so there's dismemberment and defleshing, whether that preceded the Buddhist ritual of sky burial in the region. You know, that's where we're analyzing. Hopefully we get more remains and see this kind of pattern.
Anthropologists also found a carving of the Buddha that's much older than they expected. Ng says that might mean that Buddhism was introduced in the area a lot earlier, possibly through trade.
Certainly could be from a traveler, because we have signs of an extensive trade network from throughout Asia, because we have the evidence of glass beads, which come from southern Asia, and you have some other artifacts that have some ties to the area where modern Iran is, and then silk from China. And we know that just further north, you have the silk trade routes.
because anthropologists saw artifacts from multiple cultures in the caves, it was difficult to say where these ancient peoples migrated from. At first, they thought that they might have come from the south, because many of the items in the cliffs were from what's now India. But DNA from their bones told a different story.
The sequences of people in the caves in Nepal seem to match those to the east side of Asia, so, you know, links to China, Japan, and Tibet, and the Sherpas. So it's like looking like as if migration actually had occurred from the northeast, and rather from through the Himalayas, from people who were living in East Asia.
What's even more interesting? Anthropologists discovered that ancient peoples had two types of genes to keep them from getting altitude sickness. Ng says the first one is more common around the world.
But then there seems to be specific ones that's just in the Tibetan people. And what's really fascinating is that that sequence seems to have been something that was introduced by another hominin species that was mentioned that comes from Siberia in the Altai region.
In other words, a gene from a different species of human from the largest province in what's now Russia. Ng says the history of the people buried in these cliffs shows how adaptable humans can be over time.
To think about the fact that the people who moved to this region, you know, why they did, what enabled them to, and knowing that they had these genes that, you know, were already in their DNA that helped them.
Human remains have been tumbling out of the cliffside graves for years.
Unfortunately, the cliffs are eroding away. Ng says it's in an area where the Earth's tectonic plates shift underground, causing huge chunks of the cliff to fall into the Kali Gandaki River. Flooding in Nepal doesn't help either.
This is the deepest river gorge in the world, carved by the glacial meltwaters of some of the world's highest mountains.
When the monsoon season comes, the river can get quite high. So any bones that are eroding off would just be carried away by the Kali Gandaki. And we don't know how many have been lost through, you know, the waters. And so that's one of the reasons why it was considered rescue archaeology, because we had to, because the bones were eroding and, you know, at a given time, they were falling and they would be washed away by the next season.
Ng says her team will continue to research the tombs to try to discover more about these ancient peoples. She says it's fascinating to find out about how they survived in such a harsh climate and how the people of Nepal manage today.
And it's just amazing that, you know, distance-wise, it isn't that far between villages, but it does sometimes take a day or two to go between areas. And so you can imagine how long it took for people to do trade or to communicate and you know, exchange ideas and interact. And, you know, people would go, for instance, for the horse festival. And it just gives you an appreciation of community.
Jacqueline Ng is a bioanthropologist at Western and was featured on an episode of NOVA called Secrets of the Sky Tombs. We'll have a link where you can watch the full episode on our website. It's only up for a limited time. That's all for Arts and More today. I'm Rebecca Thiel. You can hear Arts and More on Fridays on WMUK and check us out online at WMUK.org. Thanks for listening.